Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 14th of November 2015. My name's Hereward Fenton. Welcome to the show. I have a two-hour show lined up for you today, folks, and we're going to be getting into vaccines once again. In the second hour, I have Damien Poulsen coming on, a man who is behind the No Jab, No Pay, No Way protests that have been happening around the country. And there was one set of protests earlier this year, and there are new protests organised for November. And of course, this group is basically opposing the draconian legislation which is set to be passed through the Senate this month, which will effectively ban and prohibit refusal of vaccines by threat of severe financial repercussions for families who fail to get their children up to date with all the recommended childhood vaccines. And the financial repercussions are very, very harsh. It is effectively mandatory vaccination coming to Australia. And I've got a lot of things to talk about in relation to that, which I'll be going through in the first hour. And then I will be interviewing my guest. We'll be talking about the protests, and we'll get into a bit of discussion about it and really try and understand the issues. But now, before we get into all that today, I want to talk about something else, because as we go to air today, the news reports are coming in about the terrorist attacks in Paris, and currently the death toll is about 140, but it's probably going to climb from there. The coordinated terror attacks in a theatre and restaurants and various other locations around Paris. I want to reaffirm a very important point, because this attack is going to have a huge impact again on the mechanisms of state control in terms of tightening restrictions on freedoms, in terms of bolstering the power of the state, allegedly in an attempt to root out and destroy these forces which are creating this havoc and indeed, you know, this terrible tragedy that's happened today in Paris. But everything that's going to happen, everything that's going to be done in the name of making you safe, is merely going to be part of an agenda that is actually the opposite of making you safe, which has been at work for many, many decades, but which really had its primary kickoff on September 11, 2001. And the events that happened in Paris today are directly connected to the events of September 11. And even more so, they are connected to the whole strategy and the whole agenda of the Western New World Order empire building strategy, which has taken place since that time, which has laid waste to many countries, which has created a vacuum of lawlessness in countries like Libya and Iraq and Syria, countries that have either been invaded or crushed from air attacks or subverted through directly funded covert destabilization programs. And all of this was predicted from the beginning, from the first day after September 11, when General Wesley Clark has testified that that he was told that they were going to invade 7 countries in 7 years. Or was it 5 countries in 5 years? I can't remember exactly. But all of this, of course, having been presaged by the neoconservative agenda, and in reports and documentation that they put together asserting that the United States had to rebuild its defenses and reassert itself as the predominant superpower on the planet. Everything that's taking place now is a direct consequence of that. And yet, what's going to happen as a consequence of these latest horrors is that this mechanism of power and domination and empire building and brutal assault on sovereignty and the principle of freedom, it is only going to be increased. The French government has already stated that they are going to bring in draconian new rules. They've declared a state of emergency. They're talking about banning travel. The situation now in Europe has become extremely dangerous because of the flood of people emanating from Syria, many of whom are actually connected to these groups, who are themselves kind of phony constructs, but these constructs have grown legs and have become real because of all the money and all of the chaos that surrounds these types of war situations. These groups have really been created. They really do exist, and there are horrendous terrorists out there. And we're entering into a period of social chaos, which will further the agendas of those who want to bring in stricter and tighter controls on human freedom, while at the same time claiming to be advocating compassion and care. As they say, we should, you know, bring in all the refugees, we should take care of all the refugees. But at the same time as doing that, people's rights and freedoms will be taken away from them. And I just think it's very easy to forget the connection between all these events, because in the heat of the moment, and when you see these shocking events portrayed on television, people tend to just forget everything, and they just look at that and they go, oh my God, it's so terrible, it's so horrifying. And they don't understand how this was created. There's been some excellent articles already come out. There's one from Counterpunch, which I'll just see if I can get up here. Here it is. The Age of Despair, Reaping the Whirlwind of Western Support for Extremist Violence. This is Counterpunch, November 13, 2015, by Chris Floyd. We, the West, overthrew Saddam by violence. We overthrew Gaddafi by violence. We're trying to overthrow Assad by violence. Harsh regimes all, but far less draconian than our Saudi allies and other tyrannies around the world. What has been the result of these interventions? A hell on earth, one that grows wider and more virulent year after year. Without the American crime of aggressive war against Iraq, which, by the measurements used by Western governments themselves, left more than 1 million innocent people dead, there would be no ISIS, no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Without the Saudi and Western funding and arming of an amalgam of extremist Sunni groups across the Middle East, used as proxies to strike at Iran and its allies, there would be no ISIS. Let's go back further. Without the direct, extensive and deliberate creation by the United States and its Saudi ally of a worldwide movement of armed Sunni extremists during the Carter and Reagan administrations, there would have been no war on terror and no terrorist attacks in Paris tonight. Let's be as clear as possible. The hellish world we live in today is the result of deliberate policies and actions undertaken by the United States and its allies over the past decades. It was Washington that led and/or supported the quashing of secular political resistance across the Middle East in order to bring recalcitrant leaders like Nasser to heel and to back corrupt and brutal dictators who would advance the US agenda of political domination and resource exploitation. Now, I totally agree with all that, but there is one ingredient missing from all that, which is always missing from the left-wing analysis of the war on terror and what is going on. And it's still a bit of a mystery to me as to why they continually have this blind spot, but they will never look at it directly, which is that the 9/11 attacks themselves were clearly perpetrated by elements from within that same power structure. The evidence for that is so overwhelming, and the lack of a proper investigation into the events of September 11 all point to the fact, to the incontrovertible fact of some kind of inside job. And this is so important to remember because, you see, it was the 9/11 attacks and the horror and the fear that was felt at that moment that allowed this whirlwind of destruction to proceed, because people are moved by fear and terror to do whatever the nanny state tells them will make them safe. And so the refusal to look at the clear evidence of inside job in relation to 9/11 then simply leaves the door open. It simply leaves this set of horrific invasions and subversions and genocidal wars against other nations. It leaves them not properly understood, because the foundational cause was never properly questioned. And so it is up to us, it is up to the real alternative media to continually bring the spotlight back to focus on the fact that the events of 9/11, A, were not properly investigated, that the official narrative does not add up, and that therefore the fundamental pretext, which on the basis of emotions and on the basis of the deaths of all those people in the Twin Towers, office workers, people who consider themselves to be just ordinary civilians being massacred, that was a false pretext that allowed then the massacre and the destruction of millions of people around the globe. I know our listeners are well aware of this, but it's just important that we drive it home every time so that there is absolutely no doubt about what is going on. When I come back from break, I'll be getting into vaccines, so do stay with us. I've got some very interesting analysis and some things to uncover for you. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And today we are looking at vaccines. Particularly, we are looking at vaccines in relation to the draconian new legislation that is set to be passed through the Senate this month in Australia, called the No Jab, No Pay amendments, which will basically financially punish parents who do not bring their children up to speed with the government-recommended vaccine schedule up to the age of 19. It goes all the way up to the age of 19. Now, which is interesting considering, you know, you're not actually a minor after the age of 18. But anyway, they've decided to bring it up to the age of 19. And so you as a parent have to basically do this, or you incur the wrath of the government, and you will lose up to $15,000 in government rebates. Because Australia is a very heavily taxed country, and a lot of us really depend on the tax rebates for people in either low income brackets or people who are raising families. There are a bunch of rebates that are available, and without those, you are paying the most horrendous amounts of tax. Even if you're on quite a mediocre income, you'll still be paying massive amounts of tax. So these rebates, they're not optional, they're essential. You really can't live without them. If you take them away, it's just going to drive people into a situation where they can't really be working. They'd be better off on the dole than they would to be working and not getting these rebates. So I want to play to you a couple of interviews, actually a speech from one of the earlier protests that was done this year. But in the context of my researching this, I've come up with something else which is actually probably more important. I want to talk about the Greens. I want to talk about Senator Richard Di Natale, because the Greens and Senator Richard Di Natale have become one of the greatest enemies of freedom, and I would say across the board, the Greens have become one of the greatest enemies of truth, freedom and justice. And it is really a sad, sad situation that it has come to that, because I know many of the people in the Greens see themselves as being part of a tradition of social justice, a tradition of protest going back to the 60s. Indeed, many of the members of the Greens will be in those age brackets and from those political groups that were opposing the Vietnam War and that were engaged in all kinds of movements for justice through the 60s and 70s and 80s, including a lot of environmental movements and a lot of stuff that I think is actually very, very good, including things like opposing genetically modified foods, nuclear waste dumping, deforestation, a lot of issues that are really, really important that the Greens kind of capitalized on in order to become a very powerful kind of centrist mainstream political party. But what has actually happened is that as the Greens evolved into this much more professional type of political apparatus, they brought on board the type of people who are aligned with that. They've brought on board people who are shrewd political animals who are in it for the game. People who are players and are very, very good at what they do. And I put it to you that Senator Richard Di Natale is such a person. I've been watching a lot of his material, a lot of his speeches and YouTube material that he's got out, and he's very good. And of course, he's been on the Q&A show a number of times, and he's very, very good with public opinion. He's a professional. He's extremely, extremely good. And I have to say, he is allied with the forces of evil on this planet. And it's come up before. I've actually discussed this in the show several months ago, where I discovered, you know, to my shock and horror, that Senator Richard Di Natale was essentially supporting American imperialism in Syria and was actually blaming President Bashar al-Assad for the current disastrous situation in Syria and the refugee crisis, when clearly all the evidence, all the factual evidence, is that this was created by American foreign policy, deliberately infiltrating and creating opposition groups and pumping them up with the extremist ideology of the Wahhabists, with help from Saudi Arabia, who is a very corrupt ally of the US in order to destroy Syria as an important opposition to the empire of the West, and of course thereby to undermine Russia and Iran. But no, Senator Richard Di Natale just coughed up this drivel about Bashar al-Assad having bombed his own people, barrel bombs. They always bring up these unsupported allegations that Bashar al-Assad attacked his own people, which have never, you know, they've just disappeared into the mists of history now because there's been so many other atrocities and so many documented atrocities by the extremist opposition groups in Syria. But Di Natale just mouths these pathetic, discredited propaganda memes. And even when on Andrew Bolt's show, of course, Andrew Bolt being a huge American right-wing propagandist, and actually earned brownie points from Andrew Bolt for taking on this position. Well, Senator Di Natale also distinguishes himself, of course, in the area of climate change with his extreme irrational and how to put it, his denial of the right of people to be able to make up their own minds, his denial of the fact that Australia does not want a carbon tax, and he just continues to spout forth his rhetoric and his bombastic propaganda in Parliament and points the finger at Malcolm Turnbull for not basically being a turncoat on his own party and rejecting the policies that the Liberal Party has already set up. I'll just play to you a little of that at some point. But the final thing I want to bring up, there's actually many other things I could bring up, including his advocacy of same-sex marriage and his sort of dismissal of any criticism of that, which he demonstrated on the Q&A show. But the main thing I want to focus on here is his lockstep position, which is allied with corporate interests on vaccines. And he, as leader of the Greens, has basically denied any legitimacy, any validity to those who seek freedom of choice in vaccines, those who are concerned about adverse effects of vaccines, those who simply want to be able to know the truth about vaccines. And Richard Di Natale, a medical doctor, clearly aligned with corporate interests, has basically just squashed your right to even have an opinion and your right to decide how to take care of your children, your right to evaluate risk and be able to say, well, you know what? I know that there might be some risk of not taking the vaccine, but there's also some risk of taking the vaccine. And I, as a parent, I'm going to take care of my children in the way I see fit. And I'm going to bolster my child's immune system by taking care of them and making sure that they get fresh air and exercise and good food, but I'm actually not going to give them vaccines. Richard Di Natale wants to deny you that right and that say over your own family. Coming right back here with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Now, I want to play to you a YouTube clip which was posted by Senator Richard Di Natale himself on April the 21st, 2015. And this was at the time that the Liberal Party had launched its no jab, no pay policy. Now remember, the Greens position themselves as the champions of human rights in so many different ways. They want you to believe that they are the champions of human rights. There's no one else. Like, they are the party that cares about people. They care about refugees. They care about your right to privacy. They're opposed to data retention, a bunch of things like that. But when it comes to your right over your body, right, and your children's bodies, your sovereign right as a parent to make decisions, he wants to just strip that all away from you. And he is a classic fascist, ladies and gentlemen. And the problem is, he's extremely articulate and he's extremely charismatic in his own way. And he's a very, very dangerous figure in Australian politics. I just want to alert everyone to this fact, that Senator Richard Di Natale is a very dangerous fascist who has infiltrated his way to the top of the Australian Greens. And something needs to be done about it in a political and in a legal way to address the fact that this man is a traitor to the basic principles that the Green Party stands for. So I'm going to play to you now the clip that Senator Richard Di Natale posted on his own feed here, on Green MP's feed. Here we go.
G'day everybody. My name's Richard Di Natale, Victorian Senator and Green spokesperson for health. I want to talk to you about vaccines today. Now, let me say from the outset that the Greens are very strong and unequivocal supporters of vaccination. We believe that vaccines are one of the most successful public health interventions ever implemented. The fact that we can have a discussion about diseases like polio, like diphtheria and tetanus, and celebrate the fact that they are almost a thing of the past is a testament to the effectiveness of vaccinations. Now, that's not to say that there aren't risks. Of course, there are. Some vaccines are more effective than others. Some people have medical conditions.
Just have to pause it there. You're probably aware of this, but polio did not exist in any significant way before the turn of the 20th century. And there is so much research that indicates that polio itself has been created as a side effect of the smallpox vaccination programs that took place in the 19th century. I'm not joking. There is a lot of evidence behind this. But polio is a modern illness. It had a beginning and it had an end, which all really took place in the 20th century. And one of the worst polio outbreaks of the 20th century came as a result of the first polio vaccine. And polio vaccines have been responsible for polio outbreaks in other countries, even very, very recently. In India, where up to 30 or 40,000 children came down with polio as a result of the polio vaccine. These are simple facts, which Richard Di Natale, as a doctor, as an educated man, has a responsibility to let you know. In not telling you that, he is working for criminal interests, criminal cartels of the pharmaceutical industry, and he is probably benefiting from this financially. I can't prove it, but he is most likely benefiting from this financially. This man is a liar and a fraud. I'll continue now with the video. Sorry, I do feel very strongly about it, but as you can understand, the consequences of what he is saying are very, very severe for Australian people, who will be somewhat lulled into an acceptance of this man because of what he purportedly stands for as being the leader of the Greens.
That mean they can't have specific vaccines, and rarely, but importantly, some people experience serious side effects from vaccinations, and I think they should be compensated for that. But the science is crystal clear. The benefits of vaccination far outweigh the risks, and we would like to see everybody who can have a vaccination receive one. Some people, of course, won't agree with that, and some people will cherry-pick the data. They will read what is effectively an opinion piece dressed up as a scientific article to justify their belief that vaccines are not effective. Some people go even further and believe it's a conspiracy between governments, the pharmaceutical industry and doctors. Now, for those people who are implacably opposed, I suspect there's nothing I can do to change your mind. But if you're sceptical, if you've got an open mind, indeed if you're supportive of vaccines but have concerns about the government's direction in this area, well, this message is for you. Let me say we share some of those concerns. We don't believe that linking vaccines to welfare payments is the most effective way of increasing vaccination rates. We're concerned that it's unfair, that some people who are opposed to vaccines are on high incomes and for them it won't make any difference. We're also concerned about linking welfare payments to health outcomes. But this measure does have the support of both the major parties and it will get through the parliament. So the question is, how do we effectively increase vaccination rates? And it needs to be...
Notice how he says we're concerned. He doesn't say we oppose it. This man is very shrewd, ladies and gentlemen. He says it's going to get through. He could actually block it. The Greens could have actually blocked it. He says we're concerned, but he doesn't actually address the concern. It's a completely faux message, what he's putting out here. It's completely fake. And it was put in a softened form like that to kind of draw you in. If you have some little lingering questions about what about freedom and what about rights, you know, aren't we supposed to allow people to make their own decisions? He's trying to appeal to that side of you by saying we have concerns. But what's he doing about it? Jack diddly squat. That's what he's doing about it. Absolutely nothing. And he's then quickly moving on. As if there's nothing to even talk about anymore on that topic, when in fact they could make it a policy platform of the Greens to oppose that legislation and then it would not get through. Continuing now with the video.
Through a combination of measures, we need to increase the education that's provided to the general community. We need to make sure people are aware of the benefits of vaccines through mass marketing campaigns. We need to ensure that we reduce barriers for when people go and see a health professional. Things like high costs put off people from seeing a doctor and stop kids from being immunised. And of course, there are other things we can do about improving recall systems and making sure that people who need to have a vaccine are getting timely reminders. What we need to do is we need to have a society that's healthy and productive, and ensuring that people are vaccinated is one way to achieve that.
So, as I said, Richard Di Natale is very articulate and comes across very, very well. And that's why the deceptions that he is foisting upon us need to be pointed out. Now, I'd like to just play another clip here. And this is Senator Di Natale talking about climate change and addressing some comments to the new government led by Malcolm Turnbull. And this is from September 29, 2015.
And on no other issue, is conviction and courage more important than on the issue of global warming. We're now disrupting the world's climate systems and quite literally changing the conditions for life on Earth. Now, I'm not going to speak for very long on this issue. I suspect that for many of you, if you don't know this already, nothing that I say will make a big difference. But the science is telling us that we are on a trajectory that puts us on track for a 3.5-degree temperature rise. That is incompatible with civilization on life on Earth as we know it. Some nations will be wiped out altogether. Our major coastal cities will be inundated. We'll see food supplies disrupted. We'll see the collapse of entire ecosystems. People will endure unprecedented heat waves. We're going to witness the spread of infectious diseases and resource wars will become inevitable. The world will be unrecognisable. So unless we get serious about tackling global warming, everything else is just background noise. Malcolm Turnbull can't be taken seriously on his plan for an economic transformation unless at the heart of that plan is a credible attempt to address global warming and the economic transition that it demands.
Okay, we're just going to break. I'm going to break that down for you when we come back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking about vaccines and also exposing some of the deceptions of the Greens. very popular political party in Australia. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I was just playing to you there a clip of Senator Richard Di Natale talking in extremist, alarmist, hysterical terms about 3-degree temperature rise and global catastrophe and all this nonsense, which is, he says it's the science. There's no science that backs that up. It's just those are extreme end projection predictions, right? And I find it interesting that here's a man that we played earlier who poo-poos people who question problems with vaccines and claims that that's unscientific and basically says the science proves that vaccines work. Then he says the science proves that the world's going to end because we don't have a carbon tax. This man is perpetuating irrational, magical thinking in the service of power elites, which really amount to the hidden oligarchy that rules this earth, corporate and family oligarchies that control trillions and trillions of dollars of the wealth of the West, who are kind of in the final stage of trying to consolidate their power to create a kind of Orwellian superstate to challenge the other spheres of dominance, which will be China, Russia, South America, and possibly Africa, although Africa's kind of up for grabs in this situation. And they want to lock us all down. So I think that will conclude my diatribe there about Senator Richard Di Natale. It is something to be very aware of, and we need to try and reach out to people in the Greens who do have the vestiges of a true understanding of principles like freedom and justice, and what democracy is all about, to understand that they've been subverted, that their leaders are now complete traitors to that idea. And we can still have debates about certain questions about science, but when you look at the totality of what is going on, you have to see that these forces in our politics are just about, they're about eliminating the future of Australia, eliminating the future of your country as a place where you can have the kind of rights and freedoms that you've grown up with. Now, further to that topic, I'm going to now play to you a speech by Lisa Weckert, who spoke at the No Jab, No Pay, No Way protest in Brisbane earlier this year. And I believe she will be speaking, possibly others will be speaking, again on the 20th of November outside News Corp offices in Holt Street, Surry Hills. And this will be a continuation of the protests. And I do actually have another very important clip to play for you. In fact, I might play this one first, just because I want to make sure we actually get it in. AVN representatives at the No Jab, No Pay Senate public hearing on November 2, 2015. So this was just a couple of weeks ago. And the AVN, which is the Australian Vaccination Network, sent some representatives to the Senate public hearing. And the public hearing is set up so that the public can have an input into the Senate's decision on this legislation. So it's very, very important. And Senator Richard Di Natale actually pops up again here in a most disingenuous way, basically just derailing the AVN by attacking them on the basis of their name without really any other substantive argument, just on the fact that they shouldn't be called the AVN. So I'll just play that for you right now. We may not have a chance to actually play the other speeches I had lined up for you, but I will play that from the AVN public hearing. Here we go.
Thank you. Now we'll go briefly to questions. Senator Di Natale, did you have questions?
Yes, thank you. I might just start with the AVN. Now, you've referred to yourself as the AVN on a number of occasions through this submission. My understanding was that you were instructed to change your name. Can you explain to me why you keep referring to yourselves as the Australian Vaccination Network?
I'll respond to that by saying, what on earth relevance does that have to this inquiry?
Well, I'll get
and
to that
number
in a moment.
Two.
I'll get to that in a moment, but I'm just interested in the reasons for the representation of yourselves as the Australian Vaccination Network when you were when you've been instructed to change your name. So just want an understanding.
When I was president, it was called the Australian Vaccination Network.
And my
Chair, is this relevant?
Hang on, order. The witnesses are entitled to ask questions. We tend to have a fairly wide-ranging discussion, so you're entitled to answer the question how you like, but I'm not going to rule out Senator Di Natale's questions. He's entitled to ask his questions.
I'll answer it with this. I'd like to know why you haven't recused yourself from this panel, Senator Di Natale, given the fact that you've very publicly shown your derision for the people who this bill is going to most affect. Why haven't you recused yourself? You should have nothing to do with this process whatsoever.
Order. I'll ask witnesses and people in the gallery to just keep order as best we can, and there's no need for applause and like. I understand strong feelings, but we'll try and have a back and forth with questions. So, Senator Di Natale, continue.
Chair, I've asked just a specific question. I'm keen to get an answer. It's actually quite a serious issue because a ruling has been made, and I'm concerned that this organisation is representing themselves in a capacity in which they're not able to do so. So, I think it's important.
I'll just pause it there, just to clarify for our audience. When he says a ruling has been made, it's completely irrelevant to this Senate inquiry, right? And it was a recommendation by the Therapeutic Goods Administration that the Australian Vaccination Network change their name to the Australian Vaccination Skeptics Network. And there have been some changes made on their website. And that's all there is to it. But this is a classic political tactic that he's just basically injecting this into the debate to derail it. He is not concerned about the public hearing. Richard Di Natale is derailing a public hearing. This man is a fascist. I feel very strongly about it. This man is a very, very dangerous person in Australian politics.
We understand the rationale for them representing themselves as a group to which they're not entitled to do. So that's where I'd like to start.
I might just intervene there. Okay. Certainly I've made it clear in terms of the name when I introduced them. I'm not going to stop them from saying certain things. These things are on the record, and you've now noted that in terms of that. So obviously that's then on the public record, and it's on the Hansard record, and people can read that and be aware of it.
It's good to see, Senator Di Natale, that you're doing great work for the sceptics. I've been a member of the Greens since 2001, and I'll have to tell you now, I think you're a disgrace to the Green movement, and you will end up like the Australian Democrats at the next primary. Your primary vote is going to be gutted like the Democrats. So well done.
Well, we'll try and stick to answering questions if we could. Senator Di Natale.
Thank you. And Chair, I just urge you to ensure that the hearing is conducted in the spirit in which most of these hearings are conducted.
I'm certainly doing my best, Senator Di Natale, and I'm giving it a call. And obviously, I can't instruct witnesses how to answer, but I would ask people to all be respectful to one another.
We have limited time, so I'm hoping that we can actually concentrate on the issues here and not worry about what Rupert Murdoch and News Limited want you to say today at this hearing.
Senator Di Natale.
So, given
Talia, and we can go to questions.
Yeah, given that the hearing, today's hearing, isn't actually about the effectiveness of vaccines, I'm more interested in the credibility of the witnesses here today. Now, the in terms of the evidence provided by the Australian Vaccination Skeptics Network, there was a ruling made by the Health Complaints Commission in New South Wales that the information they provide on vaccination is, and I quote, misleading to the average reader because it's either incorrect, inaccurately represented, or because it's been taken out of context, and that was a ruling by the Health Complaints Commission in New South Wales. What has the organisation done to correct the way in which they present that information, and how is that different today compared with the manner in which they've presented information on this issue in the past?
About the AVN, there's a lot of groups here that aren't represented by the AVN, and you're wasting a lot of our time. I know Mr. Murdoch wants you to ask these questions, Mr. Denatale.
I've just asked you, Chair,
a group of witnesses, and I think you need to respect the...
It's going to be virtually impossible if people speak over one another. Now, I can't order Senator Denatale what questions to ask. He's entitled to ask his questions, and you can choose to answer them in whatever way you like. We are almost out of time, and it is unhelpful. So there was a question. I missed most of it, but I'm not going to instruct senators how to ask their questions. They're all entitled to ask their questions. We are virtually out of time. Yeah. Someone would like to address the question that Senator Dennis Harley has.
No, we don't want to address
more
that
questions.
Well, there it is. That's Senator Richard Dinatale, the leader of the Greens, destroying a public hearing, completely repudiating the very principle of what that Senate committee was all about, acting like a terrorist, a dirty fascist little terrorist working for drug companies. Oh dear. That's end of hour one. When we come back in hour two, I will have my guest Damien Poulsen, and we'll be talking all about the No Jab, No Pay, No Way protest scheduled for November 2015 in Sydney and Canberra and a few other cities, I believe. Stay tuned for Hour 2 coming up.